Or are you going to do something with the tape?
We are ready, sir. This is the 24th of April, 1999. Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon. Do you want the song and dance, the chapter and verse? What do you want from me? I come in radiance. I've never been anywhere else. And yet we've been everywhere, haven't we? I've never moved away from a single one of you. And I've had such pain as I've watched some of you struggling. Not for your direction. You know what your direction is. But in the give and take of living, in the time of making a transition, all of you have had to pay the price of the more misdirected ones. We don't give them a load upon which to chew. But I told you before this journey started last August that there would be sorting. That when we began to move into our real, true, forward-moving mission, we'd have to have our place in order. And we're there. We're there. And these last throes of what you're going to call pain, flack, confrontation, are of no consequence. People always, always with God have a right to make their own choices, their own decisions. And you in your human form with your human built-in ego, and if you have managed to put the ego down, then it's even more difficult for you to understand. Because egos clash. And I'm going to talk about egos here for a minute because they are the undoing of all human individuals. It's very difficult to come along and finally have a little success. You want to pound your chest or beat your head or something and say, well, somebody, look, we're doing it. It's fine as long as you say, we're doing it. When you say, look what I did. I am now king of the hill, everybody bow and scrape. You're in serious, serious trouble. Especially with such a massive program as we will have. Everybody has always been told that. Every individual coming to this place has been told that. Every individual coming to this place has also realized that funding is imminent. That's my favorite word, imminent. Because the ego snatch is imminent and goes to work on you according to what it wants to accomplish. Bruce, I'm going to add another book. Any of you who have now finished Dyer's book that you should have need the next one, Your Sacred Self. I don't have time to go through and give these lessons individually. But maybe somebody can call Dwayne and ask him if we might run some of his things in series in our paper. It will be the favored topic that ones will search for. Although you're going to have plenty to feast upon. It takes you another step beyond and into the integrated aspect of self and your higher dimension and how to function in your human world while you're trying to come to some grips with this thing within self called ego. It simply is the part of you that does not want you to be spiritual because it is the part of you that feeds on fear. And once you are no longer fearful, especially of a passage or an ascension or a change, a translation, the ego will do exactly what it did with Rick exactly what it did with Charles. These people know what to do. But did you watch it truly unfolding with Ed Young? Isn't this frightening? And most missed it. Oh, look! Our PhD now has taken Hatton, who has said, I am going to bestow upon you, son, all authority. Do you really think so? Look how many are missing. Somebody thought so. And now doesn't it come forth? This is the next thing you will hear. The argument on behalf of Rick and Ed and what they're doing. Well, you're never going to do it. And you promised us, Commander. So you can't be the same Commander. Why can't I be the same Commander? I've told you it's imminent for 12 years. Why do you think that suddenly Commander would leave? Especially with a team overseas. It's hardly the place to go to relax. You know, it's 90 degrees raining. It's 90 degrees at 3 in the morning. It's 95 to 100 degrees right now, raining. And when you have rain, like they have there, where the sky opens, they call it monsoon El Niño, La Niña. Everything got blamed on El Niño and La Niña. And now the rains have started in the spring, so it must be La Niña still. The little girl retaliating against the little boy. Can't we stop retaliation and become human? As in a higher universal intelligence. Or are you going to go down? And what I did promise you many years ago is if you stay with us, you're not going to save anything. You're going to change the world. Because we're going to do it now through the people. We, the people. We've played with heads of state. We have such a massive program working as I speak in the Asian Conference, the ASEAN, A-S-E-A-N, not Asian, although it would do, except this is the ASEAN Conference. And this will pull in all the Asian nations, with the exception of the Philippines, and these are mostly Muslim, Buddhist. They are a conglomeration of many of those religions over in Malaysia and Indonesia. But there is so much hard metal stashed over there. That was the place to go and bury the gold. Now, why would that be good? Well, because that was a place where the United States of America could haul off your gold and stash it over there along with the Japanese gold, and then it could be cleaned through Marcos and sent to Singapore, Taiwan, Hong Kong, all around to make its circulation into the Khazarian banks, of course, in Switzerland, Munich, Germany, all over Europe, where you find the Khazarians. Has anybody noticed how much stronger the Khazarian Empire has become in the United States? Well, we are working in Asia with some of the bankers, and the ones that, well, you've seen the one on the Rich and Famous that is basically organizing the ASEAN circumstance, because this one was willing to put up 20% of their entire gold wealth. You see, everybody wants to talk about, Rick especially, wants to talk about the Global Alliance instruments. Those instruments are only for a security 4, 5, 6, 10 years out. Now, when you talk about things, you don't even That is not the big issue. In the Philippines, you cannot have gold. You can have jewelry, but you may not have gold in the banks. You can't just go to a bank and sell your gold. And let's put it right down where it is. You might have somebody living on the Pasig River with all assets basically tied up, frozen in some of the land grabs that took place by the government. But they may literally have a bar of gold in their pillow. Or they may, over there, you don't have nice box springs and a nice mattress. You have a plywood base, and they put a mattress on it. And if you're lucky, you have springs. And this is in the hotels. Now, of course, the magnificent Oriental and American hotels that still charge arm, leg, and your head. And nobody from the Philippines can afford to even be in there unless they're one of these that have been able to somehow sell offshore their gold. Well, they don't want to get rid of this little tool that they have in Manila, where the capital of the Philippines is. They want to be able to control every bar of gold, every piece of gold coinage in that central bank. Well, you see, they also have about, well, maybe second to the United States, corrupt government. They know it. They dwell in corruption and cronyism. They have a better system for cleaning up your streets as far as crooks are concerned than anybody. The police watch the U.S. movies and television, and if they find a gang of people dealing in drugs or illicit trade of some kind, they get in for a cut, the police. And then if they are cut out of the cut, they just salvage everybody. That means you just line them up and shoot them. And surely enough, we can't allow the salvaging. So they bring the people in who did the salvaging. And in this one incident, one didn't die. Then they put him in the hospital. And he's going to survive to testify. Well, the police just came into the hospital in their uniforms and walked to his room and shot him. That's called resalvaging, I suppose. Recycling, maybe. So the circumstances of turning around a global circumstance, hopefully prior to the total outbreak of atomic nuclear war over what you have going over there now. You're already into Armageddon, hadn't anybody noticed? How many other nations do you hear talked about other than the U.S.? And who else do you see running around over there but little Maddie Albright, Cohen, and the other Jewish rulers? Now, how much do you think they're going to let you get away with in the United States? Surprisingly enough, they're going to let you get away with a lot if you don't break them. They're between rocks and hard places, too. And when you hear, imminent collapse of your monetary system, I want to tell you, BS. They will collapse it when it is appropriate and handy for them. Under the circumstances upon which they work, they can print money from here until they can build more presses and more presses, and they will shore up whatever they want to tell you. And here you're over 10,000 on your ridiculous stock market. You're talking about a small little handful of gamblers doing exactly what they want to do. It means absolutely nothing. And everybody hangs on it from one part of the globe to another. And then for another nice little added distraction to you, the people of the United States of America, somebody goes in and shoots a bunch of school children. And then the world stops for a day. So that internationally, that takes every bit of attention. These people were told, don't go back there. Don't go back to the United States. And that may be why Rick and Charles are saying they won't come home. Oh, no. These people are secure. They cease being secure. They really pushed the river. And they really pushed my patience. And if it had not been for a plane load of innocent people, I don't think I would have interfered. But you would have had a major, major international incident. And we're not here to have international incidents. We're not here to save anything. If they want to save the Philippines, the Filipinos are going to do it. But we will show them the way. And then they will come together and they will do exactly what they're doing. They are friends of, relations with the Marcos regime. And the government's always trying to deal with Imelda. Now, this is one of the most incredibly interesting women you will ever meet if you ever have the opportunity. And don't hold your breath, because you will. The lady is shrewd. And she just sits there and the tears pour down her face. She says, I've lost all of my friends. Well, maybe she's lost the friends in high places, because you're going to find out why I have been so hard on you with corporate structure. They are absolutely the shrewdest people you will ever meet with the handling of corporations, foundations, and so forth. And guess who taught them? Your own people. Mr. Bush, Mr. Baker. And Russell Herman. Rusty. That was his playground. They all know Rusty Herman. He worked with Marcos. He trained the security and intelligence people for Marcos. He structured and set up the security of this global bond. And now the ones under Marcos, who had power under Marcos, are creeping out. But let's look at what happened. And this is why you have to be careful. And this is why you want to do the sorting before you begin. To really make this work, you have to have a coalition of trustworthy friends. It doesn't really matter. It's just handier. And before Marcos died, as he began to get more and more ill, he set up entire series. Oh, you're English. He set up many foundations, and he called them umbrella foundations. And he set it up where a lot of his gold would go, say, to Long Beach. A lot of it would go to San Diego. A lot of it went to Libya. Tons and tons of it went to Iraq. All over. Singapore. All over. And he was able to hook up with a head of state or someone very powerful there. And he would send one of his henchmen over. And they would do a corporate structuring. And anybody could sign on this, but he would have, before they could dissolve the corporation, there would have to be at least two signatures. Now, let's just take Libya. I'm using that as an example because it's changed in Libya, but this is the way it was. There would be Gaddafi and a Marcos person, a thug, and maybe a son of Gaddafi. And they would be the ones. So It would mean that at any time you wanted to change the structure of this umbrella foundation or corporation, you had to have at least three of those signatures on the document, or a valid reason showing that, as in the case of some of them, this general Barr there, who just died while in the last 6 months. Then you can have someone that would be set up or structured in the pecking order to take Vare's place. Well, they're very practical about their nastiness. I may like you very much, but you are expendable. Always for the larger cause, which is myself, you're expendable. On the other hand, you are going to find that Marcos liked his role of daddy, father. He wanted to take care of his Philippine children. He wanted to build a society structured on the proper foundation of wealth so that the currency had value. Well, obviously, there came the time that the United States did not want that to happen. And so he gets deposed. They called it a bloodless coup. They had a revolution. They're going to have another one. And that's the second time I'll pull the people out. On June 17th, they are going to have a major, major celebration of Rizal Day. That's a national hero. And they fully intend to begin to put the pressure on. They don't have to kill anybody. I guess they may do it, but they don't have to. They play in a game. And the people are getting sick and tired of being dirt poor. And they don't see any reason for this. And they don't see any reason for the famine because the United States won't finish shipping a shipload of grain. It bogs down in Taiwan. And meanwhile, the rice paddies are filled with what they call giant worms. These are such large earthworms digesting, literally digesting, the berms that hold the water in the rice fields. And these paddies go all the way to the top of the mountains. Remember, there's volcano landscape. That's where it is going to make its most remarkable change. And that's why I told you years and years ago, when RJ would sit in here, everybody's looking for the gold, everybody's looking for this, and everybody wants their hands on that. An awful lot of that gold is still in the ground there. And there's a lot of interest in building a free society there. And the Pleiadians are there. And that's what we're going to do. And you will find it very interesting. You have the tiniest little people there. The little girls look like little girls. And they never age. They never age. You know, a 13-year-old child looks like a 49-year-old woman. Same little size. And yet their little babies grow rapidly and they're chubby, and you think, how in the world can this mother have had that baby? And she's still carrying it around now in her arms. They love their children. The malls are filled with the children. But there's a reason for that too. You can't breathe the air and live outside. So you go to the mall, and that is the outing for these families. They go and trot through the mall. And this is geared for families. They have giant playground right in the middle of the mall, inside. So they know where they're going, if they can be allowed to get there. But all the time, and a good example, they managed to get money for two atomic power production plants. They managed to get less than one out of all the money that went to do that. So the laughter always is, oh, well, we got one for the price of two. So back to your foundations and your cronyism and your practice of good business. Marcos handed over oodles and boodles of stock, for instance, to his little friend that he had literally gotten on his feet, got him started. His name is Lucio Tan, one of the Saipans. That's not right, Taipans. You know, written up everywhere. Major owner of PAL Airlines, that is until you guys came along, and we're still dinkering around with PAL Airlines. That was one of the last questions asked of these people before they left. Now, do you want me to pursue PAL Airlines, which has gotten to be laughable? Because you go to the mall, you go anywhere, and they, you know, they, some of these people come right up and hug EJ. The White Knights of Philippine Airlines. And it's on this week, it's off next. Lucio Tan will put up another $200 million to hold it another little while. He doesn't really want it to go. All of that was Marcos. Philippine long distance telephone. Marcos. So Imelda gets mad and she comes out and she says, I'm going to sue all these guys who took all the stock and they were supposed to give it back because there was a bargain. And now that I'm in trouble and Marcos and Ferdinand's dead, I'm going to sue these people, get my stock back. So the Supreme Court meets and you know, it just churns. So they have this poor little Imelda in before the Supreme Court, and she's weeping, and she's doing all the things. This lady is a better actress than Sarah Bernhardt ever was. And so she does her thing, and she gets, you know, and then the next thing you see is her with President Estrada at somebody's wedding. You can't figure out what it is. Nobody tells you the truth. It is, you open a Philippine mouth, and they won't give you any bad news. You know, what do you have in your hand? Oh, well, what was it you wanted? Oh, that's what I have in my hand. Well, let me see it. Oh, well, I just stashed it over here with Joe. Well, you're watching. They don't want to give you bad news. And if they're working on something that they hope that they can make work, they'll tell you it's working.
Well, Dr. Bart.
Well, we're glad to have Dr. Bart. Because we're going to have a clinic. We're going to get on with a lot of the stuff. And you may think that you have a very, very tiny little crew. No, now you have a crew. That's the difference. One of the major problems that we had with things going the way they were going with the newspaper was exactly what you were being accused of. Changing locks. Changing locks in the door in the dark, and that somehow makes you bad. No, it took all day to get the paperwork to legally change those locks. I'm sorry, everybody who would think it otherwise, and all you need from God is a bunch of pious BS. God expects more from you than that attitude. And it has never been told to you differently. Not from this being. And you cannot go into the throes of battle in a mission because you can't go with guns and swords or arrows or rocks. You've got to do it right. You've got to do it appropriately, correctly, And you have to do it righteously. And when you have habits that form where everyone has to meet your needs, that's ego. And when your entire life experience functions through the night, when you're not a shift worker, you have bad things taking place. So the next question always is, why did you let it go so far, sir? Why are you hitting me this hard? This would be Dharma. How could you let me end up in Southeast Asia with people who would do what they've done since they left there? And I said, because you're going to be hurt some more. You're going to find it bitter. And this was one of the most incredibly difficult mornings we had to get through, was when I called a meeting. I had to push it right up to the edge. And I said, get them to this room now. I want a meeting. There are things going on. You don't know what they are. And these people had changed their reservations, had even told our contact, our business contact, that they had changed their reservations to come home. Rick thought he could get home and cover his antics. So I think I'm going to get right down to hard metal right now. You're going to find, and this is always a blow, Dharma just says, I couldn't, no, sir. It would not be that way. You're going to find that the Bobsy Trio wrote themselves some bonus checks and so forth within the last month. Rick had to get home because this was going to break. And that's compliments of Miss Gail and Dr. Ed. Well, I didn't notice them paying Princeton or Al or Margie, or they gave themselves personally bonuses out of your money.
Was that after they were locked up?
Along about the same time. They still have the checkbook.
Do you want me to share the date that they wrote that check?
Share it, Diane. We're here to share. This is this.
The checks were written the 9th of March.
Oh.
And what happened on the 10th of March? Supposed to have happened. That was the day. The 10th is when the letter came to Ed that he was to be fired.
Yeah.
Those checks supposedly were written on the 9th. Now, they may have backdated them. Oh.
Anyway, Gail may have... Is that working? Okay. Gail may have written the date back on those checks, but the original checks were dated on the 9th of March. They're bonus checks. It was not written on the checks bonus check, but it was an amount that was undue to the corporations involved. Well, they were trying.
Yeah.
They didn't get it all out.
They didn't get it all out, but I also believe that they knew that, in my opinion, that things were not going the way they wanted them to go and knew something was going down, which is why, in my opinion, 14 pages was dedicated to how to plant a garden.
That's right. Yeah. To use the money.
To dump the money.
That's right.
If they couldn't have it, no one will have it.
Well, I will tell you, the most disappointing thing. When revenge enters the picture, or fear of being cut out some way enters the picture. What Gail and Rick did, I believe that you may find very close to unforgivable. It was actually playing right into my hands, so don't expect old Dad to feel bad. You have to sometimes bait the trap to catch the rats. Back to the parties that I told you, heads of state, so wealthy that at one time this one man was considered the wealthiest one human being on your globe. And he's still a very big shot head of state. Gail called the embassy to get numbers, etc. And these children think they're playing with their little school blocks. They are playing with people who have armies, private armies, just to get rid of their problems. And the person that we were working with is the head of one of their private armies. Nice guy. And he's up and over his head into this thing, working with these guys, with the brothers. We call them the brothers. And they're going to put up 20% of all their assets to back what we're doing. And they get a fax from Rick Martin, unsigned, that says these people are not authorized to do business. It is amazing, except that they are now rendered so useless that they're alive. They were going to send the assassins after the deal was made to not blow up the plane. Do you hear me? Does everybody in this room hear me?
Yes.
We've talked about it for 12 years. You've written about it. The man comes over. There's all this little talk about enemy of the state, a motion picture. And there is even talk, hey man, that's nothing, and they consider you enemies of the state. We had a person come over from Dubai in NATO and said, you are classified as economic terrorists. Oh, They had said to me, Hatton, remember, I met with them, not with this lady. I met with them with her, I met with them without her. They don't have any trouble with me. Just Rick and Charles, I suppose. And they said, get them out of here. Rick is like a chatterbox. They had cameras. They had surveillance tapes. Every move was watched. Every time they left the hotel, they were followed. And I'll tell you how good they are, these surveillance guys. Rick and Charles would look around a room and they would locate these CIA agents. Hell, those were just gold dealers. You bet they were always there. But they're just gold dealers. So the word came down, you get those two out of town, or we're going to take them all out. Well, why would you pick on Charles if he wasn't doing the talking? Because he's always with Rick. And that's the way it is. And then they were going to send their hit team all the way over to the United States. Because they don't cotton well to multi hundreds of billions of dollars being just wiped over here into the whole slot. And a whole ASEAN conference to be built for peace. And I don't expect you to comprehend it. Dorma can't. EJ can't. And obviously Rick and Charles can't. And they gave me an ultimatum. I don't cotton to ultimatums. But they made one I didn't want to refuse. And that was get them out of there. And that's when they really got mad, because they didn't, there was no privacy for EJ and Dorma. If they didn't want to send the email, they didn't. They dumped it. The email and the letters and things that were coming over here stopped being circulated at all, and Ed dumped it. So you didn't have very much commander for at least 8 months. I let them go. And a lot of you need to know what happened, because this seems to be the theme running through most of the objections of people out there, scattered around, readers. We're supposed to be a non-bigoted organization, right? Well, let me tell you what happened about that. The demand was, on my part, these notices had to be run in that paper, because that was the instrument used for communication. When I would agree to something, that's fine, sir, you just write that in the next contact, you run those notices, and that way we now have a give and take communication system. Now, what did Ed Young do? He started putting my Apton writings and things like that on the back of the page with a notice. Well, I might be sitting in the room myself personally in a physical form when they get that paper. What is this? What kind of a cult rag is this? You know, we're Muslims, and the Muslims are the opposite side of Armageddon. We don't want to be hooked up with bin Laden, who's running around somewhere in the Philippines and over in Pakistan.